It's great to be with you today on Good Friday. Providentially, we're talking about the good news of God, the gospel, on the very day we remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. I had not necessarily planned to be here in the biblical text today, but I rejoice and thank God that He has brought us into Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 through 18, just in time for Good Friday and then Easter this coming Sunday morning. For all of you Christ followers tuning in today, I hope you'll enjoy your resurrection mornings, and perhaps I can be the first to say, He is risen. He is risen indeed. In my own church, we will celebrate with a sunrise service at 6 a.m., and we do so with great anticipation that one day we too shall rise again by Christ's power over death and the grave. But before we get to the resurrection, we have to go through the cross. Friday comes before Sunday. And what is the cross of Christ? It is much, but it is definitely this. The rugged cross is the place where the good news and the bad news of God meet in the person of Jesus Christ. And this week on God Is, we have been dealing with the second of four dynamic words in Romans 1, verses 16 through 17. This week's word is salvation. Salvation. And the primary meaning of this word is deliverance and rescue. By using the word, the Apostle Paul means that God delivers people from their sin. God rescues people from their sin, and God does that through the cross of Christ. But I remind you that in order to have a robust conversation about salvation, the good news, we must first understand the bad news, and that is the wrath of God that Paul also writes about in Romans 1 and verse 18. As I said, the wrath of God is the anger of God. And what is God so angry about? Sin. God hates and despises sin. He cannot be in any way associated with sin. And so if God is to welcome the sinner into His presence, then sin must be destroyed. And the power of God cancels the power of sin in the death of Christ. The power of God cancels the power of sin in the death of Christ. Let's talk about this, and to do so, let me read Romans 1, verses 16 through 18. I'll actually only read the very first part of verse 18. This is Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through the first part of verse 18, and you can read along in your Bible if you'd like. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, But the righteous man shall live by faith, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. In what I just read, the good news precedes the bad news. The good news is the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation, as we've talked about thus far. Now, there is more to it in verse 17, but we're moving slowly and systematically and have not yet finished our discussion of the good news. For more on that, return here to God Is on Monday. But thus far, anyway, the good news is the power of God that God Himself provides for salvation. And the bad news is in verse 18, the wrath of God. After I define for you the wrath of God as God's anger against sin, yesterday, at the end of the broadcast, I dealt with a question that a lot of people have. It's a logical question. You might even have it. Here's the question. Why do we not see more of the wrath of God? If God is angry, why doesn't He seem to show it in a way that we can all recognize it as His wrath? As always, there are weeks' worth of broadcasts we would need to set aside time to answer if we were to answer such a question with depth. But I do not have that kind of time. And so, I told you yesterday that the wrath of God is evident in human death. Now, if you were not with us, you can visit the WEZE website and download a podcast and hear what I had to say yesterday. Just go to 590amtheword.com. That's 590amtheword.com and click podcasts. So, human death is one way that the wrath of God is manifest to us. In his magnificent series of sermons on the book of Romans, which is the very best commentary on the book of Romans that I own, Dr. David Martin Lloyd-Jones gives 8 ways that the wrath of God is revealed to us from heaven. Human death is one of the 8, but the other one that really popped off the page at me is that the wrath of God is revealed most vividly in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so as we worship Jesus today and remember his premier sacrifice for our sins, let's see the wrath of God poured out on his son Jesus in the biblical text. If you have your Bible handy, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26 and verses 38 through 39. That's Matthew chapter 26 and verses 38 through 39. And before I read it, let me set the context. Jesus, on the verge of his arrest and crucifixion, goes to the Father in a soul-wrenching prayer. He does this in a place called Gethsemane. He has some disciples with him, and he instructs them. And then Jesus speaks to them again in verse 38. Listen to what he says. I'm reading now Matthew chapter 26 and verse 38. Then Jesus said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." We now know what Jesus was feeling. He is deeply grieved to the point of death. Now that's grief. He knows what is coming and he's wrestling with the wrath of God that he will soon endure. And I want you to see how Jesus knew that the wrath of God was going to be poured on him. This is now Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Now the Christ is flat on his face in intense prayer to God the Father. And the key word I want you to focus on is the word cup. Let this cup pass from me. The cup represents the wrath of God. The cup was a symbol of the wrath of God for sin. Back in the Old Testament, there are several passages that prove this. I only have time today for two. In Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 17, the cup is spoken of as the Lord's anger. And then in that same chapter and the 22nd verse, as the chalice of my anger. A chalice is a kind of cup. Let me read these to you. Isaiah 51 verses 17 and 22. "You have drunk from the Lord's hand the cup of his anger." And verse 22, "the chalice of my anger." And then in Jeremiah 25 and verse 15, the Lord is speaking and he says, "Take this cup of the wine of wrath from my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it." That's Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 15. Did you hear it? The cup is God's wrath. The cup is God's anger. And now Jesus is praying in Gethsemane, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Of course, notice how the prayer ends. It's always true of Jesus that he does exactly and precisely what his Father wills. And so we know that obediently Jesus Christ drank the cup of the wrath of Almighty God. That is, Jesus will die an agonizing death on the cross for sin. And for that, turn with me forward to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27 and verse 46. This is now the ninth hour of Jesus' crucifixion, and Jesus cries out on the cross saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That's Matthew 27 verse 46. Why is Jesus feeling so profoundly the abandonment of God the Father? It is because Christ is bearing in his own body the full fury of God's wrath, God's indignation, God's anger on sin. Here on the cross, Jesus is taking on the wrath of God as a substitute for all people whom God has already chosen to believe in Jesus and to live obedient lives unto him. Dear Christians, listen to me. The punishment that is due us for our sins, Jesus paid in full on that cross. The punishment justifiably intended for us became his, even though he did nothing to deserve it. Jesus never, ever sinned. Even on the cross, he does not become a sinner. Never. But he did bear our sin. Jesus took our place. Jesus is our substitute. He died for sin. He died for sin so that we do not have to. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And I hope now that you will see why this is such great news. In Christ's death, the wrath of God is fully, completely satisfied. But in order for God's wrath to be satisfied, Christ had to die. He is the substitutionary atonement for sin. In the words of the great old hymn that I love so much, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. And so if you want to know, so where is this wrath, this anger of God? There it is. The wrath of God is on full display, being poured out on Jesus on the cross. He's dying the death intended for everyone who believes in him. He is overcoming the wages of sin, which is death. No wonder that Paul the Apostle will write this to the Corinthians. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Yes, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you. We praise you today, and we say a hearty thank you for enduring the full wrath and fury of God the Father for our sin. Thank you today for paying in full the penalty of my sin. What can I say? I offer you my humble thanks. And now, Lord, strengthen me and my fellow believers to give you our all and to take this good news to everyone we meet. There is such bad news. The wrath of God is very real, but thanks be to you. The gospel is true. Thank you for the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation. Amen. My friends, Jesus has died for sin. Thanks be to God. Enjoy Easter, and then join me again on Monday as we continue to learn about this good news right here on God Is.